So I'm lucky enough to be with Robin Hoyle, who has just ended Learning Live, one of the sessions. Liking ain't learning. I think it wins the prize for the best title of the talk here. So, Robin, it did bother me, this coming to this session. I'm just thinking, wow, where's this going to go? And you went on quite a journey, I think, around social and social media and what this means for learning and what we learn. And could you just encapsulate that journey? I know you're a bit knackered from your session, but it was a really good, very interactive talk. But kind of what's the message here? You know, are we really just being a bit stupid as a result of using Twitter a lot?
I think one of the challenges is not that Twitter in and of itself makes us stupid. I think the key issue is that Twitter can present a view of the world which is not necessarily the whole world or even the part that we need to concentrate on most. What I want people to do is to look at social not as a vehicle for necessarily just finding out the information and the views of others, but contribute and really go through the process of not just stating their opinions on what they think this week or indeed what they had for breakfast, but actually really important things that they have researched, that they have got evidence for, and making social learning, social networks, social media a place where there's a lot of evidence and debate about the interpretation of that evidence would just elevate it incredibly as a learning tool. And I think at the moment sometimes can be a bit bland, sometimes can be a bit everybody thinks the same, sometimes can be a bit opinion and evidence free, and that's not going to help people learn and develop. So yeah, by all means use social, integrate it into your role and to the work that you do within learning and development, but really, really, really focus on the reflection part, which it provides above all else, i.e. the opportunity for people to think about what they've done, craft something, write something down which they want to share with others, and to do so without fear or favour, to do that without worrying about what their boss is going to think about it or without the performance management system is going to think about it or anything like that, to actually say, yeah, we screwed up, we made this mistake, but hey, we learned these things and this is really useful for people. I see too little of that. And as much more of that we can see, the better it would be for everybody's engagement with those social networks of which they are naturally part.
Now, I don't think anyone would disagree with that sentiment. I certainly wouldn't. But do you think learning and development's guilty of kind of being a bit likey, you know, kind of, is there too much self-promotion? You know, it's got a history of fads, for example. Does social enable us to amplify fads more quickly and at a more alarming rate? You know, is that an issue, do you think?
I think it can be, and I think, you know, if you've ever written anything which says, for example, that neuro-linguistic programming might not be the best thing since sliced bread, you'll know just how powerful the trolling element within learning and development can be on social media. So, and I think we've got to be careful that we don't just make it very bland because we want to gain likes and we want it to be part of our promotional campaign, and for it to be an entirely performative space where people pretend to be this vision that they are in the business. I think the degree of authenticity really matters when we get into those areas, particularly if people are going to learn from our experiences. Yeah. And learning from experience inevitably involves learning from things that didn't work. It inevitably involves really trying things out, testing them to destruction and reporting back to people on that approach didn't work for us because, and being able to analyse that, to integrate that thinking with some of the other evidence and all the rest of it would be terrific. And so I genuinely, genuinely want people to really use the platform which we now all have to critically think about what it is that they do, critically think about how they could do things differently and better, and then share that thinking, not necessarily when it's all complete, not when it's all nicely tied in a bow, but actually to go, I'm having this issue at the moment, I think it's this, what does anybody else think? And then genuinely get a dialogue going. And if that happens, terrific. I see too much of it, which is just about, gee, thanks for sharing. I don't care, actually, that you think it's great that I shared that. You know, stop it. Just tell me stuff that really helps. Add some value with the comments and the contributions that people make, and I'd be happy.
Last question then.
Yeah.
So there's obviously, that's a huge challenge. I completely agree with you. But, you know, we see it at conferences. We see the hands of corporate comms all over presentations and case studies and the stories that, you know, would be really useful, the ones you've just kind of outlined, really. So, you know, are there where are we on that? Are there good examples of people doing stuff, or, you know, how can people start doing this?
I think it was a really interesting experience that I had with one of my clients, where they were doing some work on an internal Yammer network. And it's the first time that I've really got engaged with an exclusively internal network. And it was really quite interesting. This is a group of 150 people across 70 countries. And they communicate on this network. And one of the challenges that they had was that people were putting really, really bland stuff, really uninteresting things together. And then one of the senior people, head office person, one of the heads of a department within this team, came on to Yammer via her mobile phone and just said, we can talk about failures because we have those too and we need to learn from our mistakes. And it created a validation and permission to say, actually, we've just tried this and it was a disaster. And suddenly the floodgates opened. Not that everybody came on talking about disasters, but actually a lot of people came on saying, hey, we had something similar, but we managed to do this. And somebody else go, yeah, but that wouldn't work in our market because of this. And somebody goes, oh, what? And it was such an explosion of interest and ideas that came out of that. And it just needed somebody in a really senior position to use the technology which we'd advocated, a mobile phone and a selfie, a video selfie, saying, this is what I need you to do, people. And it happened, and it was terrific. But I can quite understand cultures where you've got performance management systems, where bonuses are tied into your achieving your objectives, where, frankly, the objective of most details of project implementation reviews is bury the bodies where they will never be found. That's not a learning organisation, and it doesn't work in this environment in the same way as it doesn't work in any other.
Robin Hoyle, thanks very much.
Cheers.